ABBA. Monday to Thursday, 7 to 10 p.m. East Coast Radio. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Residents are making desperate calls for help as the violence and looting rage on.
There's been running gun battles, gunshots in the air.
South Africa, in a nutshell.
Exactly that. It's 32 minutes after 7. Welcome to East Coast Radio, KZN's number one hit music station. As promised, we are going to be chatting to a fine gentleman. He goes by the name of Soweto Mandlanzi. Before we start our conversation, obviously, I need to give you context as to what we are speaking about today. So, advocate, therefore, the lawyer representing four of five men accused of killing the Bafana Bafana star, Senzo Meiwa, has withdrawn from the case, saying that he was being harassed by the state and the judge. Therefore, announced his decision on Tuesday afternoon after the trial resumed following almost a month of adjournment. The adjournment came after Defo said he wanted to challenge the jurisdiction of the court, saying that the matter should be heard at the Johannesburg High Court and not the Pretoria High Court. However, on Tuesday morning yesterday, Defo abandoned his application to challenge the jurisdiction. Instead, Defo said he will make his presentation to the National Director of Public Prosecution for the charges against his clients to be dropped. In the afternoon, as the matter was about to be adjourned, Defo made the announcement that he was withdrawing from the case. So on the line, we have Soweto Mandlanzi. I'm actually going to say it in Zulu. Soweto. Soweto Mandlanzi, who's the author and the director of the Netflix documentary named Senzo, Murder of a Soccer Star. He's here to just give us some context and just understanding of what he thinks of everything that's happened and just comment on that. Soweto, how are you?
I should be saying, yeah, you know, that type of thing. good evening, Nazar, and thank you for bringing me to your show. Thank you.
Thank you so much for agreeing to this. Obviously, here's the pertinent question, right? We are obviously going to chat about Advocate Defo, but first, what inspired you to write this book and proceed, not only write a book, proceed to directing a documentary on this case? A touchy one at that.
Look, I think first, for me, how we met, Nobabaka Senzo, was a very emotional moment. I haven't met any person in my capacity as a writer, and that kind of emotions happened. You know, he had this handkerchief that was soaked and drenching in tears, like, Ubona ukuthi the man has been crying. And he said to me, you know that we can't pay you, Soweto, of course, as an author. So are you saying to me, because we can't pay anyone, the legacy of Senzo Meiwa is going to die down just like that because we can't pay? It touched me, you know, and at that point in my life, I was in a space when I wanted to do a social project. I wanted to do something that could benefit the public as opposed to a project that would benefit me. So Senzo's case and story and everything that happens comes at the right time. I was like, okay, look, I have to make a sacrifice. Let me do it. Of course, it's a beautiful South African story. Yes, it's painful and all of that, but there are a lot of beautiful points in it. So I just said, let me do it. But bigger than anything, it was just for me to say, maybe I might help the family to find closure. That was the biggest, the paramount objective for me to write this book.
Okay, so here's another pertinent question that we have. Obviously, you've seen what's been happening. We've all been listening to the media and what's been going on. With the stepping down of Advocate Defo, because clearly you've been following this case, how do you think this will affect the case?
Well, look, it will affect the case greatly, you know, because he's the type of person, he's not just going there at court. I mean, you would have seen the emotions, the way he tries to protest and present for his clients and of course, the Meiwa family. He had interest at heart, you know, to make sure that this is resolved, you know. So his sudden departure into this, of course, hoping that there'll be a way in which he'll come back into the other docket. It is going to affect. And this is something that I had said in the book, Ogutin. The instigators of the death of Senzo Meiwa are more powerful than the investigators. And in such a point that they want to have everybody quiet. I mean, I've told people this and I've said it in the book. There were many times where I was told to keep quiet, where my mom was called and told, I must stop writing this book. Mm. There were many times where I got the threats. I mean, where either social media by Instagram and all of those SMSs. But I knew what I wanted to do. So it does feel like everybody who's trying to touch the case, to push it or the story, to make sure that justice is served. They're trying to make sure that that person keeps quiet.
All right. It brings me to this question, right? In your opinion, what is the real reason that Advocate Defo actually stepped down? Because the reasons that have been brought forward, it's stuff that we've heard before. It's nothing new. There's nothing that's different from what he's been saying. Do you think there's a real reason why, as to why he actually decided now, at this time, to step down?
Look, to be honest, I mean, it's someone whose contact I have, but we haven't managed to really get into that and speak about it, so I wouldn't really be able to be honest and say this is a particular reason. But having been into this story, you know, having faced the threats and all of that, and people think when we say you face the threats, they think you're trying to attract drama, but the threats are real.
They're real.
You know, you get the calls to shut up, to stop, to get out of this, to leave this, you know, to all of that. So if that is also being prevented, of course, one would have had, in terms of him talking about harassment and all of that, some person may find that a valid cause to look to say, look, I'm quitting this. I'm one person also who could have done the same thing when I was writing the book for first. You know, I could have come to a person and said, I'm leaving this. But I made a decision. I said, I'm going to have to go through this. If they cut me off and they say, I'm going to shut up, I'm going to have to write it. Well, if it comes to a point where I die, maybe then I'll be happy to know that I died for what I wanted to live for.
For a good cause.
Yes, rather than me dying somewhere in a tavern, I'm sorry.
Oh, hectic. All right, second to last question. I know it's me pushing it. Obviously, you followed this story. You wouldn't just write a documentary grasping at straws. You have information together. Are you at a point where you can say, in your thoughts and in your opinion, you know who did it?
Look, I can't say I know who did it, as in the person, if I could point, the physical being of the person. I'm unable to do that. And it's something that I always share with people and say, no, I'm lying, because the way I've written the book is like I know. There are certain things, if you read the book, that are huge pointers, you know, and then one have to really think about it. Number one, when we just started writing the book while we were doing interviews and all of that, Sifiso Meiwa, who's the brother of Senzo Meiwa, went to Joburg, of course, with his father and some few guys to pick up Senzo Meiwa's clothes. And someone that I truly respect, and there is no way at all that I'd even be able to mention their names and all of that, came to him and said, there is no such thing as a robbery gone wrong. So for me, going to write the book, I already knew that the whole robbery thing, it did not exist. And so those are my first pages in the book, that the whole robbery thing does not exist. And then that means nobody entered their house. So whatever happened, you know. So those are the pointers. But to be able to say, is it Zandi? Is it Kelly? Is it Longo? I can't say that. I wasn't there. Yeah. I only follow the story as given the conversation by the interviews that I did, especially with Togo and do. I tried to do the interviews with Kelly Kumalo. It just didn't happen. But again, I always say this to people. My intention in writing the book was never to find the murderer. I wrote the book to also write about the murder, you know, and I hope people understand that. I wasn't focused on who is the murderer, who is, no. I said, because I'm writing about Senzo's life from birth to death, there's a need for me to write about his death, but I'm not looking at who actually caused it, and it's never been my interest. I knew that the court would take care of that.
All right, fair enough. And then, obviously, the last question that I have for you. With advocates stepping down and just the case taking a turn that we never expected, what does this mean for you as a writer? Will there be another book? Will there be a sequel to the documentary? Is it the end? Are you done?
No, look, I'm far from being done, and I share the sentiments of people who really want me to continue. And this is what I've said to so many people. The book contains so much more than what people have seen on Netflix. You know, the book contains so much than what has been covered by the media. So at this point, you know, without putting it out there while it's too early, we are looking at doing a movie, but the movie must begin from where Senzo's life starts. For example, Senzo had a twin. You know, there are so many things that happen in Senzo's life. The way Senzo goes through his development and formative years playing his KRC, you know, not having money to go to Johannesburg for pirates and all of those things, going there, getting there, not having the money to rent out a place because it was waiting for the result. There's a lot of drama that happens and a lot of climaxes that happens in the book, other than just them seeing Senzo Meiwa dying, you know, on the 26th of October. There's so much. So I think the movie direction going in the depth of his life will be way much more beautiful than anything people have seen.
Soweto, thank you so much for your time. We hope to speak to you soon. I heard you have a book tour coming up, and I hope you can visit us in studio.
Yes, and I expect to see you so that I can sign your copy. Thank you so much for inviting me to your show.
Thank you so much for your time. That was Soweto Mandlanzi, who is the author and director of the Netflix documentary Senzo, Murder of a Soccer Star.
To listen to these moments and anything else you might have missed, go to ecr.co.za and click on podcasts.